So wonderfully thankful to the Lord for being with us throughout the course of this meeting and the songs that have been sung, the prayers that have been prayed, and Brother Silas's able preaching, and the love that's flowed from breast to breast, and the love that I've felt, and Brother Ronald and Sister Karen's sweet home. Surely we're humbled by the grace and the mercy and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Psalms chapter 110. We don't have to guess who this psalm's about, because the Lord Jesus Christ, in the book of Matthew, tells us. This psalm begins by saying, "The Lord said unto my Lord." By that he means, "The Lord, God the Father, said unto my Lord, God the Son, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 22 asked a question. He said, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" And they said, "He's the son of David." Jesus said, "Why then does David in spirit call him Lord?" The Lord Jesus Christ, from a physical standpoint, is the son of David. The New Testament begins by saying the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David. So he is, in one sense, the son of David. But in another real sense, he's also David's Lord. "The Lord, God the Father, said unto my Lord, God the Son, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." How was the Lord Jesus able to sit at the right hand of God the Father? You know, Hebrews 1 and verse 3 tells us, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He's sitting there because he won the greatest victory that could have ever been won on the cross of Calvary, and he's sitting there at the right hand of God the Father in power, in majesty, and in glory even today. You know, you can worry a lot less about what's happening in the world today by remembering that Jesus still sits at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus is still ruling and reigning right now. That's why I was able to sleep good last night on a very soft bed, because I know the Lord Jesus and God the Father are on their throne. He said, "The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies." I love what David said in the 23rd Psalm. He said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." The Lord's ruling even today in his church, in his church where he has a table spread for us. We sing that song, "Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed." He invites his chosen people, come and dine. You know, I've eaten some wonderful meals there at the Lawrence's home. You know, when they invited me to the table, you know what I did? I came and I sat and I ate. The Lord still has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. And I would to God, whenever he's laid out a table for us, we'd come and dine. that when he says the table's set and the table's here, that I would never find something else to do, but I'd go to be at the table of my Lord and eat his precious food. He's ruling in the midst of thine enemies. He says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. This psalm is a psalm about the Lord Jesus Christ. But because we were chosen in Christ and because we're in Christ, some of this psalm's about us too, what we have in Christ. He says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. The Lord Jesus in John chapter 6 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. The Lord Jesus said there, they shall come. I believe he's talking about the irresistible call there. I believe he's talking about being born again when he speaks with that life-giving voice and says, live, and we live. He said, they shall come. It's an irresistible call. And I'll tell you, when the voice of the Lord Jesus speaks, we answer with that life-giving voice, as when he told Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came forth. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. John chapter 5, the Lord Jesus would say, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead, that is the dead and trespasses and sins, when the dead shall hear, there's a shall, brother, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. I'm going to tell you, there's one sweet day when Jesus is coming again, and he'll again come with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and he'll speak with his life-giving voice, and all the elect family of God will be raised. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. He said, in the beauties of holiness. You know, there's nothing about our Lord Jesus that's not beautiful. Remember, this psalm's about him and the beauties of holiness. You know, I told Providence Church when I went to pastor them, I said, look, I said, y'all need to know something about me. I said, I'm a frog. We heard about frogs last night, Brother Mike. I said, I'm a frog. And I have warts. And I said, the more you get to know me, the more you'll see my warts. We all have imperfections about us, don't we? We were talking about the clarity of TV as we were looking at some of the golf games. We didn't look at the news. Brother Ronald did not look at the news. None of us did. But you know, the clarity of TV is so great. Now you can see a small bead of sweat. You can see the slightest imperfection in somebody's face. And you know, it's caused our TV personalities to have to make up just a little bit more, because we all have imperfections. But not our Lord. The Song of Solomon, it says, he is altogether lovely. He has no spot. He has no blemish. He is altogether lovely. He is altogether beautiful. In the beauties of holiness. But you know, because we're in him, because he died for us, because he shed his precious blood for us, he's made us altogether lovely. He's made us altogether beautiful. I love what it says there in Ephesians chapter 5, where it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Listen, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. He's blessed us with his beauty by his finished work, by his grace, and by his love. Psalm, it would say, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Again, David said in Psalms 27, that's his one thing. You know, one of the biggest enemies of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today and of us serving the Lord the way that we should in our life is distractions. We get so distracted with the many things, we forget the one thing that's most important. And the psalmist David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. One thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Do we want to see the Lord's beauty this morning? We've come to the right place. Through an eye of faith, we're blessed as he walks in the midst of the golden candlesticks to behold his beauty. The beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. What do we think of when we think of a womb? We think of a little baby. We think of the newness of life. When we think about the perfect skin you could have, we think about the skin of a baby. That's what oil of Olay, I guess. I may be dating myself. What oil of Olay is all about can help you look younger too. We desire the skin of the baby. Brother Silas mentioned he couldn't quite do the things that he used to could do. Our management team at work are people roughly my age. And even us going on a trip together or something, or going to some meeting together, you know, we've been in the car a couple of hours and we get out and we make a lot more noise than we used to when we get out of the car. And we're like, And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, I sound like my daddy. You know, I used to laugh at them for doing that. And now I do it. Why? We're getting older. And these bodies aren't getting better. But you know, the Lord's strength never fades. He's as strong today as he's ever been. I love that song we sing, the God that lived in the olden times, he's just the same today. He's just as strong as he ever was, and he has all strength. Do you know he's given us of his strength? Did you know that? Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He's given us of his strength. And there's a part of us, definitely, that's getting older. But there's a part of us that's not. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, for which cause we faint not. Let's back up a little bit. Let's back up to verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound or superabound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. For though our outward man perish. That's what we've been talking about. The outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know what power it took to born us again? You know what power it took to save us, to take us from a death and trespasses and sins into life in the Lord Jesus Christ? It took the same power that it took to raise Jesus from the dead. It's that same power. And when he born us again, he put that new man within us. He put that inward man within us, and it never grows old. It never weakens. It's been made perfect and righteous, and it's ready for heaven and immortal glory right now. That's why when we breathe our last breath, nothing happens to our soul and spirit. Nothing happens to that inward man other than it goes to heaven. Nothing has to be changed about it because it's already been changed in the new birth. That's why we can see dear old saints of God laying on their deathbed and their bodies have failed. Their bodies are very weak and their strength physically is gone. But that inward man is just as new as it ever was. And their anticipation to see the Lord in his glory is just as strong as it ever was. That's why somebody like Elder S.A. Payne could say these words, "Farewell, vain world, I'm going home." His body was weak. Those words were spoken on his deathbed, but his inward man had been renewed day by day and never lost any strength. "Farewell, vain world, I'm going home. My Savior bids me come. Sweet angels beckon from on high. And oh, how sweet to die." He wasn't suicidal, but that inward man, he had reckoned that the sufferings of this present life weren't worthy to be compared to the glory which should be revealed in him. And he was anxiously awaiting to see his Savior and his Lord. Says, "Thou hast the dew of thy youth." Dew in the Bible is often an indication of the great blessings of God. Where Brother Silas was when Jacob had been tricked, or Isaac had been tricked into offering the blessing, he thinks it's offering it to Esau, but he's offering to Jacob. Part of that blessing was, "God bless thee with the dew of heaven." It's a great blessing. A blessing of strength and vitality and newness. You know, when God gave manna in the wilderness for those 40 years, do you know how that manna formed? It formed in the dew. The dew would come down and the manna would form, and then the dew would go off and dry, and there's the manna. It's formed in the dew. Symbol of the blessings of God. What blessings we have in what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. He said, "The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest for Allah after the order of Melchizedek." Melchizedek was a king, but he was also a priest. He was from the tribe of Judah. When the Lord Jesus came, some said, "He can't be a priest. He's not from the tribe of Levi." But he was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's king. but he's also priest. He was a picture of a man, and I believe Melchizedek was probably a real man, but he was a picture of a man of an endless life, picture of a man that had no beginning, no end, no father, no mother. He was called King of Salem, King of righteousness, King of peace. That's our Lord. Abraham gave him tithes. Abraham honored him. More could be said about that, but I want to get to the end of the chapter, Lord being our helper. He said, the Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. Who shall judge among the heathen? He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, we focus on him gathering the elect family of God and taking us to be with him for heaven and immortal glory. And that's glorious and that's precious. That's not the only thing he's coming back to do. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus, when he comes again, he's also going to mete out justice on every sin that's ever been committed that the Lord Jesus didn't die for. He's going to mete out justice on everybody who have persecuted his dear little children throughout the ages with wicked hearts. He's going to bring justice. Don't ever worry that at the end of the day, justice won't be done. Sometimes we don't see justice in our criminal justice system today. But I'll tell you, God always brings about justice. Said, he shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. You may say, Brother Mark, this is a psalm about the Lord Jesus Christ. What in the world is that talking about? Brooks are talked about in the Old Testament in numerous places. Elijah, the Lord blessed Elijah to drink of a brook in the drought that had happened. There are many other brooks that are mentioned in the Old Testament. But you know, there's only one brook, one time mentioned in the New Testament. You know where it is? It's in John chapter 18. Let's turn there. John chapter 18. It said, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron. That's the New Testament way of referring to the Old Testament brook Kidron. The word Kidron means blackness. It means darkness. It means to cause to mourn, M-O-U-R-N. So here's the Lord Jesus going with his disciples into the Garden of Gethsemane on the way to the cross. And he crosses over this brook of blackness and darkness, a mournful brook. The brook Kidron is mentioned numerous times in the Old Testament. 2 Samuel chapter 15, we come to a very sad time in the history of the nation of Israel. David's own son, King David's own son, has rebelled against him. That was a consequence of David's own sin, for his sin with Bathsheba and his taking Bathsheba's, the life of Bathsheba's husband. The Lord had told him, the sword shall never depart from thy house. He said, David, I forgive you. I'm not going to require your life, but you're always going to have trouble in your family. Here's David's own son that's rebelled against him. And David, the great king, is fleeing his own nation. In 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23, it said, and all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over, and the king, that is David, also himself, passed over the brook Kidron. And all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. Here's David passing over this dark, mournful, black brook. He's reminded of his own sins. He sees the sins of his own son. And he's crossing over that mournful brook. We see other places. I'll go to a couple of other places for the sake of time. 1 Kings chapter 15. 1 Kings chapter 15. We've got a very godly king named Asa. And he's king over Judah, and he's doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord. And he's trying to rid the nation out of things that ought not be there. It said, and also Maacah, this is verse 13, his mother, even her, he removed from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa destroyed her idol and burned it by the brook Kidron. Here's a godly king, but his mother is worshiping idols. And he takes her idol and he burns it, he destroys it, and he puts it in the brook Kidron. A symbolic representation of the sins of Israel, of the idolatry of Israel, of David's own sin, and of David's own family's sins, symbolized in this dark, black, mournful brook. I want to go to one more place. It's 2 Kings chapter 23. It's a little unbelievable to read some of these verses. Here's another godly king that's getting rid of some of the terrible things that had come in, a godly king named Josiah. Said the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priest of the second orders, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal. There's pagan worship. Worship of heathen gods in the temple of God. Can you imagine? He's getting rid of these things for the grove, for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. Verse 6, I'm going to skip a verse for the sake of time. And he brought out the grove, that was another place of heathen worship, from the house of the Lord, without Jerusalem, unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of Israel. Here's all this pagan worship that had come into the very house of God itself. And this godly king Josiah says, get rid of all of it, and you take it to the brook Kidron. We're going to burn it there. We have this symbolism, this picture of the sins of Israel all bound up in this brook. Here's the Lord Jesus. On his way to the cross of Calvary, he crosses over this black, mournful, dark brook of Kidron. And he's going to drink of that brook in a symbolic way. You remember later in John 18 that mentions that brook is the account where Peter takes out his sword and he chops off the servant of the high priest's ear. I think he was aiming for his head, but he missed. You remember what the Lord Jesus told him? The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? That cup was the cup of Kidron. That cup was the cup of the wrath of Almighty God that my sins deserved and that your sins deserved. You know, we've talked about some of the other sins that were in Kidron. What about mine? All of my sins were stamped and burned in that brook. Your sins were stamped and burned in that brook. And Jesus drank of the cup of the punishment for all of my sins and all of your sins and all the elect family of God's sin in that brook Kidron. He drank of the very wrath of Almighty God in that brook. He took my cup. He took your cup. And he drank it there. Though he had never sinned, he drank of the brook in the way. It says, therefore shall he lift up the head. A lot of times when our heads hang down in life, it's because we feel condemned. When mama caught our hands in the cookie jar and she caught you, what do? Your head hangs down. Doesn't just hang down when we're little kids, but it hangs down even as adults, doesn't it? When we realize our failures and our heads hang down. Sometimes this old world can get the best of us and our heads hang down. Remember, it's a little boy getting hurt, and I would be hurting in an agony, and my mother would put her hand under my chin and she'd lift up my head. Since I've been a man, when the trials and tribulations of life get to be so much, my wife has put her hand under my chin as my head hanged low, and she's lifted up my head. But you know, nobody can lift up our heads like the Lord Jesus. Luke talks about some of the terrible things that will be coming upon the earth at the end. And then he says, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I'm going to tell you, the same one that died for us on Calvary's tree, the same one that drank of that brook in the way, the same one that drank that cup that my sins deserved and that your sins deserved, and he suffered an equivalent of an eternity in hell for all the elect family of God in 6 hours on the cross of Calvary, the same one that did all that is the same one that's coming back with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and he's coming back to lift up our heads. He's coming again. And he will lift up our heads, and our heads will never, ever hang down again. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. May God richly bless his mind.